Most people would say Christmas is gone and so is my money. This morning we're only a few days away from a new year, and physically we're probably drained, you know, because you've got so much going on. You're trying to cram seeing everybody, making all of these things work, and I don't know about you, but when I get to the end of the year, a lot of times I'm praying this: Lord, don't let this merry-go-round just go into the new year. And what I mean by that is because I think people are way too busy. I think we're trying to jam into so much of our lives things that we could avoid. And I bet if I was to stand here and ask you this morning if there's something that you would want to change in 2020, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody want to change something in 2020? Anybody here this morning wanted to leave something behind 2019 and hope that it doesn't come back? How many played that same song last year? Praying that God would do something amazing. It's only natural to come to the end of one year, going into the next year with anticipation. I just lost something. Nope, it came back. It was gone and now it's... How about if we just... Oh, there, we're back again. All right, here's what we're going to do. I'll bring this up and let's put this on, and between the two, maybe we can make this work. It's only natural that we come to that and reflect on it, and there's things that we want to see happen, and there's things that we hope never happens again, and... our prayer is, anybody besides me do resolutions? Y'all are too good. You've given up on it because you know that, you know, what you do in January is usually done by the end of January, and you miss out on it. How many hope that next year will be better than this year? No, we can all agree on that. But short of having a crystal ball, short of being able to see into the future, short of having the mirror like Beauty and the Beast where you can look in and you can see things that are going to happen, the only thing we can stand on is that we're a believer in Christ and that God is in it. Say amen to that. That the Lord is in it. We have the almighty Word of God. We have God's promises. We have God's presence. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and we have each other. Say amen to that. We have all of these things, and every time that I begin to talk to somebody about coming to church and being a part of a family of God and about being connected, the first, well, I can worship at home. I don't. Yes, but there's certain elements of a church family that you can't get watching TV. Say amen to that. And I realize that you can see God when you're walking through the woods, and I can, you know, throwing your fishing line out and all these things, but we have God's promises, we have God's word, we have each other, and we bring those things into a relationship, and each one of us take these things into the new year with anticipation. Amen? Father, I just ask you, as we just go to your word, I'm excited about 2020 because there's parts of 2019 I don't want back. There's parts of 2019 that has been a struggle and a challenge. And I'm asking you, Lord God, to go before us to help us to have the hope and the promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. You will walk with us. You will strengthen us. You will be all that we need. And as we go into this new year as a church family, individually and as individual families going into the new year needing different things, I'm asking, Lord God, that you would do something fresh and new. And I'm asking for your anointing upon our lives to accomplish all of that. I'm asking for the desires of our heart that would line up with your will that you would bring to pass. And for some have been praying this for years and years and years. For those that have been waiting on the Lord, I'm praying that this is the year, amen. And Lord God, that we would see you do something fresh and new. And we're going to get excited. We're going to go in anticipation. We're believing you and standing on those promises. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tell you the purpose of the message right up front. I'm praying that God would get a hold of our hearts like never before. Take us into this new year with anticipation that God is going to do something fresh and new. That 2020 doesn't have to be scary, but that we walk into it with anticipation that God is going to do what he has said he's going to do. He is going to walk with us every step of the way. I'm praying that if there is a few things that God has already been speaking to you, now this is not going to be a thing that you're going to say amen to. This is not a thing that you're probably going to shout woo-hoo and get all excited about. But I'm praying that the things that God has already been telling you, that you would bring your A game and allow him to do these things. Because if you're taking in 2019 where God has already been talking to you about a few things and you haven't been listening and you're going into the new year thinking God's going to change his mind, you're probably going to have a bumpy road. So my prayer is if he's already been talking to you about what's going on or what will happen into the new year, that you're listening so that road is not going to be bumpy because you're not listening. I have a suggestion list that I believe the Word of God is speaking to us about things we need to get out of our lives, things we need to bring into our lives, and I know that you're going to have to tweak it. Amen? Each one of us is going to have to take that list and say, yep, that's for me. And then each one of us is going to have something that the Lord is going to have to interject, or you're going to have to tweak into your list and get out. But right up front, I'm going to tell you that there's things that you should leave behind in 2019 is bitterness, negative judgment, harmful habits, excuses, failures, painful past, unhealthy relationships, regret, condemnation. That's right out of the book of Romans telling us that these are things that we need to get out of our lives. And I don't mean just put it in the recycle bin. Say amen to that. Sometimes we say, okay, God, yep, you want this out of my life? This out of my life, and I'm going to put it in a recycle bin, and then I'm going to come around and grab it again. Well, I'm telling you that that's not what the Lord is looking for us to do in the year to come. I mean, get rid of them. Even in the hiding spot you think that God doesn't see, in that hiding spot, get rid of those things. And there's things that I believe that you can bring into the new year, 2020, the peace of God. That we need the peace of God to fall in such a day and age, in a crazy time that we live in, we need God's peace. We need God's hope. We need God's joy to be restored into our lives. What the devil has stolen, God wants to give us back in the new year. Can you say amen to that? As a church, we've watched so many people in this past year suffer with some health issues. I'm praying that God would bring joy back to this congregation, that he would bring healing back to this congregation, that he would bring the peace of God like never before flowing. And that table I want to get around, and I want to get all that I can get. Amen? You've probably been around tables and eaten till you're almost in a coma. Well, that's the table that I hope that I eat till I'm in a spiritual coma to have all of God's peace and everything that he wants. There's a saying that goes, if you want something that you've never had, you have to do something that you've never done. Can I say that again? If you want something that you've never had, you will have to do something that you've never done. So I'm telling you this year, this going into the new year, there are some things that God's going to tell you. Why do you keep doing the same things over and over and over and expecting something different to happen? You've got to do something new. You've got to do something that you've never done before. And let that sink in for a few minutes. Let me give you some springboard scriptures that I believe are fitting for going into the new year. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers, and I could add parentheses, sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul is telling us right up front in Philippians here that there are some things that we need to do. We need to forget the past and not live in the past and move forward and be looking ahead. He tells us that if you see the history of the Apostle Paul, you see he has this long pedigree of accomplishments. He's got all these things that he's done and, you know, all of these performance medals, so to speak. And they will take you only so far. Paul is telling us that these things were the things that I used to look to. These were the things that used to be everything to me. These were the things that I used to trust in. But I'm telling you, now I'm looking at Christ. Now I'm looking for Christ to do something new in our lives. He's not telling you that you need to delete your past. Say amen to that. You can't delete your past, but you can let your past keep hindering you, or you can let your past be the past and you can move forward and not allow it to be your future because you know that you're a new creation in Christ. His past is reevaluated up against what Christ has done for him, and he tells us in Isaiah tells us that our past is like filthy rags. All the things that we can do and we think are righteous and all these things that we think we're going to get a lot of attaboys and attagirls for, they're just going to be filthy rags when it's compared to what Christ has done for us. And he's telling us that our old self, that person we were before we knew Christ, needs to die out. And that new creation that God has made us is what he wants to move forward. He's telling us here that our past has no power over us when we're renewed in God's love. Amen? And we have the redeeming grace. You see, there's very quickly things that we need to get out of our lives. There's things that we need to put into our lives. And it's easy to say, right? I can name off all this stuff. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of all of this. And then this and this and this. And you can all say amen. And then when it comes to doing it, that's when we find that it begins to be hard. That's the part that we struggle with. And that's why the Lord says, I will walk with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I dwell within you to give you the strength and guidance that you need. The Lord is saying that one step at a time, I'm going to walk with you and do this. And that you don't have to make these decisions yourselves. Because if it was that easy, if we ever could just do all the resolutions that have been said on December 31st, if it was that easy, we would have done it. Amen? But it's not. We need the Lord involved. We have to understand that bad decisions got us to where we're at. And if you take bad decisions into 2020, you're going to see that it's going to be a bumpy road. The Apostle Paul gives us this portion of a runner. And you can all tell I'm a runner, so you can tell. A runner wouldn't be very good if he spent the whole time looking back. Amen? Can you picture a runner trying to run like this? And no wonder why he wouldn't win a race if he's constantly looking backwards. See, sometimes you dwell on, I'm not going to look back, but you don't run the race well. Or you look back all the time and you're constantly being hindered about. And if you're if you're making the decision that you're going to look forward and not look back, that's one thing. But Paul tells us here that there's another step involved, and I believe that that's why sometimes we struggle going into these new things or trying to get rid of things. He's telling us that we need to be straining to look forward. So not only are you looking forward, but you're striving for the things in front of you. You're working towards the things in front of you. You're intentional for the things of that are in front of you. And I look at these and I picture this runner, this muscular person straining and working and extending and going to full capacity, you know, his eyes fixed on the prize, looking ahead, the finish line, and with intensity of purpose. He's not only going to finish, amen. He's not only going to finish, but he's going to finish well. And then I think and I make a kid about it because I was an athlete. It just don't look like it now. And I think about weightlifters and the things that are going on and how they need to have their feet planted, how they need to be focused and their mindset on the end result and their body tuned to what they're going to do and what they've been trained to do and the balance and all the things that are involved and the confidence that they know they can do it, streaming every muscle to make sure that together they're working towards the goal. And I see that that's how we success in life as a believer. We're straining forward. We're understanding that we need to have training. We're understanding that we need to keep focus. We're understanding that the Lord needs to be in it. So what is the prize that he's telling us that we need to be straining for? It's to accomplish what the Lord wants to accomplish in our lives and allowing God to do what he needs to do and not letting our past failures keep us from doing that. Somebody ought to be saying amen. Somebody ought to be saying, that's what I want. We must own up to our mistakes and we must be people of God that the Lord wants us to be. And we cannot let failures keep us from achieving what God wants in our lives. And then we always think that, okay, well, this is Paul calling people to ministry. Well, it's more than that. It's Paul calling us to a comprehensive call to salvation. It's a call to fellowship. That's, again, why I was saying that it's so important to be in the church, that he's calling us not only to be saved. He's not looking to just give us fire insurance. He's not looking just to save us. He's looking to be a part of our lives. He's looking us to accomplish what we need to in our lives. He's looking for us to do and strive to be more than what we can do in ourselves because Christ is in us. He's calling us to run a race that God has set out for us. And Paul is saying living his life in Christ and being found in Christ was the most important thing of him running his race. Amen? And that he says that the most important thing that he wants to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. That call is in Christ, and we can't do it ourselves. We can't do the resolutions in ourselves. That's why gym membership in December is so high, and by the end of January, it's dropped off already because they've lost interest. That plan to do it, and above all, in the first few aches and pains and getting up early in the morning, they let it go. But he's saying that it's more than that. And what does he want us to leave? What are some of the things that you would want to leave in 2019 moving into 2020? I would say shame of past failures. I love this saying that says if you just get up one more time than you fell down, it's a victory. So he's telling us that some of the shame of past failures, the things that are under the blood of Christ, let them stay under the blood of Christ. Say amen to that. The things that God has already said he forgives you for, then move on. And don't be your biggest enemy. The things that are out of your control. That's the things that I'd want to leave in 19 into 20. Leave those things that are out of your control, those things that you're trying to fix and you can't fix, or those things that you have no control of. Move on. You can't change somebody else's heart. You can't change the baggage that you've been given, but you can change carrying it around forever. Sometimes we carry this overnight bag. We carry it everywhere we go. And I want you to know, maybe it's for you this morning. The Lord's saying, throw that shame bag away. I've forgiven you. Move on. You've asked for forgiveness. Move on. There's a reason that they call it a dumpster. Throw it in there. And pick a deep dumpster, one where you can't dive back in there and get it. And allow God to do what he wants you to do. But we live our lives like dumpster diving is an Olympic event. We work at it every day. And he's saying, throw it in there. Let it alone. Galatians 3:2 says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And I'm telling you this morning, set your mind on things above. We would live better lives if we could control some of the negativity that comes out of our mouths. You thought I was going to say somebody else, didn't you? Catch myself sometimes being negative. And God's saying, set your mind on things above. Don't set your mind on things that you can't change. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on the things that the Lord has given you. Set your mind on things that are good and that you need to focus on. And focus on things that matter. Amen? Again, it comes back to connection. We need each other. No matter how much we say, sometimes we don't. We need each other. All these different social media connection points ought to make us that we have connection with one another. But you know what? I think sometimes they accomplish the lesser of two evils. They allow us to isolate ourselves. We just know everything that's going on. I know what you had for supper last night, but that don't stop me from being lonely. Somebody ought to say amen. I think that we need to acknowledge that there is two worlds fighting for our affection, and you have to listen and determine which voice you're going to listen to. If you set your mind on earthly things, these are temporal things above eternal things, and you allow false teaching and false feelings and false pleasures sometimes to get in the way of what God wants, that we're eliminating what God wants to do in our lives. See, we don't reject the world because we need to be in here. That only somebody that would be deceiving themselves would think that that you can just wipe the world out and not be a part of it. We got to be in the world, but we don't need to be of the world. We have to live amongst a lot of this negativity, but that doesn't mean we have to live there. We have to hear on the news every day, and it sometimes it's a race between my wife and I of how much we can take of it before somebody has to turn that TV off and say enough is enough. Because it's the same old thing played the same old way. We don't have to reject the world in that we have to live in it, but we can reject that we're not going to let the world control how we act, what we say, or what we do. That is determined by our God. Ephesians 4:22 says this, you were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to be put on the new self created to be like God is in righteousness and holiness. When's the last time you have taken time to reflect on what's going on in your life? When's the last time that you sat down and you decided what goes where? Who goes and who stays? And what part of that equation and that time of reflection is going to be a part that you're going to say, okay, God, this has to change. I've carried it for many years in this bag. It's been the same old stuff. And Lord, I'm throwing this bag out. It's the last time I'm going to sit down and decide where this goes, because I'm telling you, I know according to your word that it's got to go. I know according to what you've spoken to me that it's got to go. The key word here in Paul's text is you were taught. You were shown. You have learned this about Christ. And there's some things that you need to put off. There's some things you need to put on. There's some things that you need to allow God to be made new. I pick things up, I put things down. I pick things up, I put things down. Does that sound like a commercial to you? But it's our life all the time. We do the same old stuff. The Ephesian church is being reminded that as believers, that we were not taught to be like someone else. We were not taught to be the main thing. We were taught to be more Christ-like. And he's saying, you didn't learn these things about Christ that way. You heard them, you were taught about them, you realized that they're truths, and you need to implement them in your life. That was your former life, this is your new life. This was all about you, this isn't all about you. And you carried that shame bag, and you carried it with all those desires, and you got rid of it. And you realized that these things were against the things of God, and that your old you was the one that put on and put off what you wanted. And the new you is going to say, Lord, what do I put on? What do I take off? One of the things that I want to do in the new year is learn life lessons from 2019. If there's something that you want to bring from 19, it's going to be life lessons. Amen? If you went through it and you know that the Lord has shown you something, that is something to bring into the new year. Life lessons will keep us from learning the hard way, things God wants us to learn the easy way. And as I close this off, I think of the verse in Isaiah 43. It says this: forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. That's for somebody this morning. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. As I close, I'm asking you to allow God to work in your life in the areas that he's already been speaking to and the areas that need to be spoken to, and allow him to take out things that are not meant for us. Amen? And allow us to do something new. See, our instinct is to run back to what is familiar. And sometimes God wants to do a new thing. See, I don't know this morning if you're stuck between where you're at now and where you want to go. Or if you're stuck at where you're at now and where God wants to take you. And I understand, I've been there. An unwanted season of change is tough. I think it was Marty this morning that said change was tough. He doesn't like change. Sometimes we don't like change, or change is hard, even if we know that we need to change. But with the Lord directing us, it will help us. In a world that's so messed up, we need Jesus. You say amen to that? In a world so messed up, we need Jesus, that we make the right decisions and good attitude and letting go of the things that we know that we need to let go of and embracing the things that we need to. I'm going to close with this verse, Isaiah chapter 6. It was Isaiah's commission, and he makes this proclamation before the Lord. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered his face, two they covered his feet, and two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, For I am man of unclean lips, and I've lived among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with thongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Is that your cry this morning? Is that your prayer for 2020? That not only, Lord, allow me to do all that is needed in my own life, take things out, put things in, allow me to be used, but that you would have the attitude this morning going into the new year, here I am, Lord, cleanse me. Here I am, Lord, allow me to forgive myself so that I can move on. And here I am, Lord, send me to wherever that you would need me to be and that you would give me direction. Amen? Is that your prayer? I hope it is. I was going to have everyone to move to the front, but I think this morning as I just go to prayer, if you would stand right where you're at, no need to move around this morning. If your prayer this morning is, Lord, that is what I desired going into the new year, then I'm going to ask you at that time to just ask the Lord to help you through it. And if you need to sit, please feel free to do that. But I think a lot of times we get so rushed that we forget we need God's presence in our life. We need God to do something far beyond what we can do. And you say amen and you move on, but by just taking a moment to stand and pray, we're acknowledging to the Lord that we can't do that on our own. We need him to intervene in our life, in our families, in our church, in our community, and right on up to our country. Amen. Father, I just come in the mighty name of Jesus Christ this morning. I'm asking, Lord God, that as we move into the new year, and I realize all the struggles aren't the same. There is hurting people. There is people in need. There is people that need a touch from you health-wise. There's people that are discouraged because they have brought their request and life has just eaten it up. And I'm asking this morning, Lord God, that you would do something fresh and new. We need you to be in our lives. We desire, we give you permission, we actually plead that you would get involved in our lives in the areas that keep us up at night, that you would provide an escape. And Lord God, that as we walk with you, that we would be sensitive to the things that you're saying to us. And I pray that 2020 would be a year of reconciliation. I pray that 2020 would be a year of healing. I pray that 2020 would be a year of meeting the needs of your people. Pour out, Lord God, what is needed in our lives. I pray for this community, Lord God, that needs Jesus. May there be revival that would take place, one in our hearts, flowing out into the community, that you would get honor and glory, Lord God. We give you honor, we give you praise, we're thanking you, Lord God, for all of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.